Does this bring back memories for you? Listen to that. That's a great sound. That's the sound of straight out of the 80s. That's the sound of a computer trying to connect to the internet over a telephone line. Well, if you live in a big city, it's probably been a while since you've heard that because you probably use broadband, a cable modem, and you haven't heard that squeak of the 56K modem in quite some time. But in rural America, that's probably a much more recent memory. Only a third of web surfers have high-speed hookups. 93 million Americans have no access to broadband, and now the FCC is looking to do something about that. We're joined now by Nick Zaberla. He's on the case. He's a community activist in the city of Whitesburg, Kentucky. He started a group called Dial Up Rocks that tries to address this lack of broadband in rural communities. And we're also joined by Brian Stelter, media reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And there's an article in today's paper by Brian on yesterday's FCC announcement and the kind of nuanced stance from the Obama administration on this issue. Good morning to both of you, Brian and Nick.
Good morning.
So, Brian, you wrote about this FCC announcement yesterday, and I was really interested in the categories that the FCC made. The FCC talked about the four categories of people who don't have access to broadband. Can you tell us what those were?
That's right. They saw that some people were very motivated to get online. They found that some people were entirely disinterested in getting online on broadband, and they found that some people just didn't have the tools to do so, and they created clever names for each of those categories. Basically, what they're trying to do is set the table for the rollout of a national broadband plan to get more and more Americans with high-speed internet.
Okay, Nick Zaberla, let me ask you, why does it matter whether somebody has dial-up or broadband? I mean, it's a good thing that most people have access to the internet at all. Does it matter if they can't stream Hulu shows quickly?
Well, I think in rural America, it's not just wanting to download Hulu shows, but it's access to health care, students being able to do their homework, small businesses being entrepreneurial online. We see a lot of people in our community spending a great deal of time trying to get to broadband access, including a young man I have down the road from me who spends about an hour a day traveling to get to broadband access. So I think it's more about quality of life than entertainment.
Brian, the Obama administration is on board with that. They recognize that with our society, the way that our society is today and how necessary it has become to be able to access things over the internet, the Obama administration has made universal access a top priority. But how are they going to do this? How are they going to address the cost issues of setting up the kind of network that will get broadband to everyone?
What they're going to do, and they're going to, they'll be releasing a plan in about a month that will outline a lot of these issues. But so far, what it seems they'll do is try to encourage innovation, try to encourage companies like Google that want to roll out ultra high speed access, and they will try to create a different sort of markets, test markets for this in other ways. But a lot of this is going to be trying to prod the private sector into both speeding up the existing access, the people that already have it, and then trying to reach those last miles, those rural parts of the country that don't have access yet, trying to get that there in the first place. This report found that, about 12% of people that don't have broadband said that's because they couldn't get it at all. And that's going to be the hardest part.
Nick, here's the thing, though. In this FCC announcement yesterday, the thing that is surprising is that 35% of Americans don't use broadband at home, but only 4% of the people who don't have broadband want it or say that they would buy it if they had it, meaning that there are some people out there that are skeptical of the need or the cost is prohibitive of them. So how are you talking to people and actually getting to people to convince them that they need broadband?
Well, we need to think about kind of lifting all communities, and definitely if we think of children who are in those households who want an education future, we really need to think of broadband as a universal service, like we have highways, roads, electricity, and phone service, and that we can't depend on corporations or telecoms because as here in Kentucky, they will tell you it's cost prohibitive to go that last mile. So I think the FCC is on the right track on providing providing access that's accessible, and that's including subsidies for hardware, for equipment, for people to get online.
Well, that's my next question for you, Nick. You anticipated it. What happens if that last mile is covered, and then it's just that much more expensive for people? Are you confident that subsidies will be sufficient, that it'll be worth it for people to buy it, or will it just be too expensive?
I mean, I think this is it's an investment that we need to make. If you in a rural town, it really is going to come down to the economics, where you have folks who are choosing between paying for their electric bill or buying prescription medicine. We have an opportunity in this country to really raise all ships. Is that last mile going to be affordable for everyone? No. But is it something that we need to do as a society? Definitely. We have communities here where the telecom has run the broadband access within 100 yards of people's homes, but are not willing to stretch it those final feet for cost prohibition.
And Brian Stelter, did the FCC say anything about what they call the digitally distant? These are people who are around 63 years old, 10% of the population, who say they don't see what the relevance of the internet is?
This is the part that fascinates me personally. I think what the FCC has said is that if once you're online, you understand why it's important to be online. The problem is getting those people to try it in the first place, to come online and realize it's not simply a place to get viruses and to get scammed. Certainly, it's possible. Certainly, you need to have some sort of education.
Try it, you'll like it, right?
Having that education is going to be an important part. But once you're online, you realize those dangers are minimal.
Yeah.
And really, that's what sells you on it.
Brian Stelter is the media reporter for the New York Times. Nick Zabarla is a community activist. He runs the group Dial Up Rocks, an advocacy group in Kentucky. Thanks so much.
My chickens ain't got no scratch. My internet connection has been blown all out of whack. I need a universal broadband.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.